You're listening to Kizuki, the podcast. I'm Mei Yoshikawa, and I define the Japanese concept of Kizuki as the following. Kizuki. 1. A moment of epiphany, an aha of realization or insight which opens the knower to a new dimension of truth that was formerly unknown. 2. Steps in an incremental growth of awareness, resulting in a movement from ignorance to greater awareness of the bigger picture. A kind of knowing that cannot be undone, that cannot be unrealized. As a longtime yoga and meditation practitioner, a world traveler and curious self-explorer, I'm obsessed with Kizukis. Listen on each week for inspiring and enlightening stories that may just tip you over for your next aha. On this week's episode, Love in Inconvenience. A couple of years ago, I was at home cooking dinner when my phone rang. But you know how it's almost like kind of rare that my phone rings lately because it's mostly texting and emails and stuff? But it rang, and on the other end was a friend of mine, sounding panicky. She had moved to Japan from another country and had been living alone. During the pandemic, the loneliness had really set in, and we had kind of connected and gotten to know each other in the phase following the pandemic, where we spoke often about the importance of mental health and taking care of physical and mental wellness. But that night, it all came crashing down for her. She said her heart was pounding and she couldn't breathe properly, and her body was just in full alarm mode. I don't think she had recognized it then, but after the fact, it was clear that she was having a panic attack. At the moment, though, she was terrified, especially with the physiological symptoms, and she called an ambulance. While the ambulance was on the way to her, she called me. When I picked up, I was standing in my kitchen. I remember it so clearly. I was cooking salmon, shake no shioyaki, that's like Japanese, like simple salmon, and fresh rice was ready in the rice cooker. Dinner was about to be served to my kids. I'm a single parent, and I live with my two kids. I think maybe that night, my older boy, Isa, was still out with his friends, and my young son, I think he was a first grader at the time, was at home with me. And when I heard her on the phone, I recognized that she needed me, but also I knew that my little son was too young to stay at home alone. I didn't hesitate. I quickly took the salmon apart so that I could mix it with the rice like a rice ball, and I packed it for a dinner on the go. I gathered my things and took my young son and hopped in the car to head to the hospital where her ambulance would be headed. There was no question about whether it was convenient for me or not. My son was in the car chowing down on the rice balls on the way, just a happy camper, and I drove straight to the hospital on the highway. We waited there for hours, actually, and probably longer than we should have because I wasn't even made aware of her Japanese last name. So when the nurses and hospital staff were calling out for her family, I didn't recognize that it was her name. She had never used her Japanese name before. So there was some miscommunication going on until we finally got in touch with the staff and put two and two together, and I got to see her in her room after they had ran all the tests. and the necessary tests came back clear. So there was actually nothing that was physiologically wrong with her. Like, I think she thought that she was having a stroke or something serious like that. And the hospital staff in the emergency room, they were actually quick to suggest that she needs to go home. But she didn't want to go home to be alone. She was way too afraid. And I didn't want her to be alone either. So instead of sending her back to her empty apartment, just scooped her up and plopped her in the car next to my first grader son, and I brought her to my house. She hung out on the sofa playing with my son's little mini cars, and then we made her a bed for her to sleep in for the night, a place to breathe. So when we left the doors open, so it was close enough that if she panicked again in the night, I would be able to hear and tend to her. Just set her up in a way that she would have less fear. I think after that night, our relationship changed. She told me again and again how much it meant to her, not because I had said the right things, not because I reassured her, but most of all, because I showed up. It's easy to say to our friends, "Of course I'll be there for you," and chances are you've had it said to you too. But a lot of times it's much harder to stop what you're doing, especially when it's really inconvenient for you, to interrupt your own life and actually be there to show up. Those were the kind of things that she said to me where, you know, she had other friends that said to her, "Oh, let me know when you need something," or "I'm always there for you." But when it all boiled down to it, she didn't really feel like they would show up. And she had experiences too where they didn't really show up. And our conversation and newly rekindled connection helped me to realize something, that love reveals itself most clearly when it's inconvenient, when it costs us time, when it disrupts our plans, when it asks us to stretch beyond what's easy or comfortable. We don't do this for everyone, but we do it for the ones we can. And for those of you like me, raising children and maybe teenagers, oh, wow, we know how those boundaries get pushed. And if we can find a way to enjoy that expansion of our boundaries beyond the comfortable and convenient, yes, those are the instances that really count, because it teaches us, it gives us the opportunity to show up for what matters most, when it matters most, for whom it matters most. And when we do, I feel like I get double, triple, extra credit or something, because that kind of showing up counts. It's meaningful, it remains, and it echoes in a way that's proven. Because love isn't proven by intention. We appreciate the intention, but love is revealed by action, especially when it's inconvenient. When you show up at the cost of comfort, routine, or ease, you're not just being kind. You're being available, and you're showing yourself and to your loved one without words. "You matter so much that I would rearrange my life for you." And that kind of love is never forgotten. Thank you for listening. If you'd like to go a little deeper, I'd love to invite you to the next online live session of Kizuki Journaling. It's happening on January 26th in North America and January 27th in Japan, Australia, and this side of the world. Replays are available if you can't join us live. The theme for this session is Your Unnamed Essence, an exploration of the self beneath identity, roles, and stories. You can find all the details at maey.live under sessions. I'd love to have you with me for this beautiful, meaningful reflection.